Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing NASCAR Race Talk. This is Monday night, July the 24th, and once again, we have a full house with guests for our listeners tonight. Starting up with, joining me shortly is our co-host, Sal Segala, and he and I will take you through the evening tonight. Our first guest for our winner's circle is returning. He was here last week. He's here again this week because he's won back-to-back in the ARCA Racing Series. Dalton Sargent was victorious at Lucas Oil Raceway this weekend, and we will be talking to him about that victory at 8:40 p.m. tonight. That's Eastern Time. At 9 p.m. Eastern, from Venturini Motorsports, we have Christian Eckes joining the show. He's the 2016 Snowball Derby winner, and he's been racing part-time in the ARCA Racing Series the last 2 years, but announced just last week he will be racing with Venturini Motorsports through the 2018 season. So that was big news for Christian Eckes, and we'll talk to him about that during our 9 p.m. segment here on Fan for Racing Radio. At 9:30, we have the head tech official at Orange Show Speedway, Rettering, will be joining us. And we'll talk to him about being the head tech official at Orange Show Speedway and what he does as in that role at the Speedway. And I'm sure they keep him quite busy at Orange Show Speedway. That track has really picked up in the last few years, and they have a very strong showing of drivers and fans every week. So definitely looking forward to talking with Robert Rettering at the 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time half hour. Now, when Sal joins us, I will kind of talk about our highlights from this past week of racing, because it all started on Wednesday night with the Camping World Truck Series and Matt Crafton winning that race. A lot of people did not choose Matt Crafton to be the winner of that Camping World Truck Series, but he's been really working hard to learn how to race on dirt, and he certainly showed what he learned at Eldora Speedway on Wednesday night. I think that was a big highlight for me. But also watching William Byron win, the youngest winner ever at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Xfinity Series driver William Byron was victorious. That's his third win this season. And they were racing a new package with three big changes on the car, and I'll tell you what, I love the package. I thought it produced some fantastic racing and probably some of the best racing we've ever seen at Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the NASCAR racing teams. So I look for that to come perhaps to some of the other, to Monster Energy Cup, because if you compare the two races side by side, the better racing was really in the Xfinity Series with that new race package. In the Monster Energy Cup Series, that really was a race of attrition. I almost got a sense there were a lot of accidents, a lot of wrecks. Two of the top drivers, two of the fastest drivers at the track, took each other out on the racetrack. Martin Truex Jr. took the accountability for that incident, but two top of drivers were out with that one incident. Joining me now is our co-host, Sal Segala. And Sal, we did a review of the Camping World Truck Series on Thursday night, but I'm really interested in knowing your thoughts about that dirt race at Eldora Speedway this past week.
Oh, it was definitely a good race. I mean, for the fans that were there and the fans that were watching, the drivers put on a heck of a show. And, of course, we got that surprise winner in Matt Crafton.
Do you think anybody picked him to win?
Oh, I'm sure there was a few. I don't think there was a lot, you know, like the other drivers, but you know, not as much as Chris Bell, but you know, I mean, you also have to take your hats off to Chris Bell for getting in a wreck, getting, you know, slammed on the, you know, on the side of the truck, and you know, being able to fix it and come back, and you know, still almost,
yep,
you know,
he still raced right up to the front.
Oh, yeah.
I think Matt Crafton may be a race winner pick in the future for sure. He definitely worked hard learning how to race on dirt this season, which really helped him to put that knowledge to the test at Eldora Speedway this past weekend. And then, of course, there was William Byron's win in the Xfinity Series. What did you think of that new package they tried out at Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
You know, Sharon, that was the only race I missed this weekend. I was up at Orange Show doing some stuff for some of the local racers, and I did DVR it.
Oh, okay, you missed a really good race.
You know, I DVR'd and I came home to watch it, and I DVR'd the qualifying instead of the race.
Oh, and not only that, there was a rain delay, so even if you DVR'd it, did you put extra time at the end?
I always put extra time, but what happens is with DirecTV, if they go off the air, you know, and they change the program and then they come back, then you automatically lose the recording.
Oh,
so that might have been what happened. Yeah.
Well, you missed a really, really good race. They tried out that new restrictor plate package. There were some air duct changes and spoiler changes. And I think it was some of the best racing we've ever seen at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I kind of expect them to move that package to the Cup Series by next season because it was such a difference. I don't know if you saw the Cup race or not, but that Cup race was really a race of attrition.
That was a race of, man, you needed toothpicks and a bunch of energy drink to stay awake to watch it.
It was a long race. I think they said the longest ever.
I was at Disneyland. I was watching it on my iPhone at Disneyland, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And then I went on a ride. We had dinner, came back, and I looked. I said, oh, it's probably already over. And I looked up. Man, Sandy goes, you still watching? I go, it's still going on. I go, it's like the Energizer Bunny. Goes on and on and on and on and on and on.
Well,
and then I got home and I thought, I got home to watch it, you know, because I was recording it. And I'm surprised that my DVR recorded all the way up until Casey Kane won, and then it stopped recording. So I was able to watch it today.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Now, there was the weather delay, red flag, and there were two accidents, red flags. Kyle Larson's car caught on fire. Martin Truex Jr.'s car caught on fire. And we don't see that too often, let alone two cars that were in flames like that. But I guess when they hit the wall, they broke some things under the hood that caused those fires. But anyway, our next guest coming up, Sal, is returning from last week. He won back-to-back in the ARCA Racing Series, first at Iowa Speedway, and now at Lucas Oil Raceway. Dalton Sargent's coming back here at 8:40 tonight.
Yeah, that was a – boy, that's – I got about 50 questions for Dalton on that win. But I know I don't get 50 questions, but I could probably trim it down to about 20 questions. But, yeah, boy. And I finally got a chance to watch an ARCA race. My TV finally picked it up, and I was able to watch it before. Actually, I watched it at work.
Oh, okay. Well, it was a fantastic race, and I was real happy to see Dalton closing up that gap toward the championship. He picked up 30 points on Austin Terrio, the points leader, and joining us now is the race winner at Lucas Oil Raceway this weekend, Dalton Sargent. Welcome back, Dalton, and congratulations on your back-to-back victory.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on again, guys.
Well, Dalton, going into that race, what were your thoughts about racing at Lucas Oil Raceway? I know last week when we talked to you, you were feeling pretty good about going out there. Once you got to the track and unloaded the car, what were your thoughts leading up to that race?
I felt really confident about, you know, kind of going into it, just knowing the group of guys that I had behind me at Cunningham Motorsports, knowing that we always bring such a great 77 big time Ford to the racetrack each and every weekend. But at the same time, I was also a little bit nervous just knowing, you know, that I struggled a little bit there last year. So it was definitely a really fun and challenging race, you know, running around fifth place, you know, for a good portion of the race, and then just knowing that we had to race the leaders, and really taking a little bit of a gamble on tire strategy, but at the same time, we kind of thought that was the way that it was going to unfold. So we did have a little bit of luck on our side, but at the same time, I think it was a good, smart call.
Okay. Now, Sal's told me he's got about 50 questions for you. So
no,
I'm going to pass the baton over... I'm going to pass the baton over to him and let him get started with his 50 questions here.
Cool.
Did I say 50 questions or 150 word question?
I don't know. It depends
on
if they're like the
50.
Real short, quick ones or like the real long ones.
First of all, Dalton, congratulations on the win. I'll tell you, you know what? There was a lot of drama during the race, especially once the rain came. And what decisions do you make? What's going through your mind? But first of all, I gotta say, you know what? That was a pretty smart pit call, you know, to pit, you know, that late, you know, to grab your four tires, because it from watching the race, tires were huge there at the track this weekend.
Yeah, it was definitely something that was really important, and at the same time, you know. I think just crew chief Chad Bryant did a really great job throughout the entire weekend, just kind of calling a game plan as well as a strategy. You know, we started off the race, we qualified in 12th, but we knew as the race went on, we were just going to continue to get better and better and better, and that's exactly what we did. You know, we started in 12th and worked our way up inside the top 10 and then inside the top 5 and eventually, you know, worked our way to the lead there at the end. So, you know, as the night went on, we just kept getting better and better and stronger as the car came to us, and it was definitely a little bit of a crazy call on tires waiting that late, but we felt like there was going to be a caution around 25 laps to go. And, you know, we got a little bit lucky with the rain, but it was a good call. You know, I think in the middle of the race when about the 52 car came to pit, it was right after most of the other guys had pitted, the 28 and the rest of them. They had all pitted about 5 laps earlier. I was really thinking that we should pit with the 52. I was a little bit nervous. But at the same time, you know, I trusted in the guys behind me at Cunningham Motorsports, and they made a great call to stay out. And, you know, we just had an awesome pit stop that kind of put us on the inside. We beat the 51 car out, which was something that was really important to do to get that track position for that restart. And we were able to really kind of just capitalize on it and be able to take home that victory.
Okay, now was that pit call, was that made kind of like during the race, or was it something that the whole team had kind of discussed, you know, before, you know, if we run into a lot of cautions, you know what, you know, we might try to save our tires and get them late, or, you know, if the race is going green and it looks like, you know, everybody's racing, everybody's kind of, you know, watching their P's and Q's, you know, are we going to try and get our tires a little bit earlier, try and pick up lots of track position?
Yeah, we definitely planned on waiting till we knew how hot it was in Indy that day. You know, normally, like last year, when the night fell, it tended to cool off quite a bit, but this year it was just so hot throughout the entire day, and even as the night fell, it never really cooled down at all. So, you know, just 5 laps makes a huge difference, let alone, you know, 10, 15 laps on the tires. So We definitely wanted to wait till pretty late when we knew. Honestly, we thought everybody was going to come a little bit later as well. So when they pitted early, we were honestly a little bit surprised. So that caught us off guard a little bit. But our whole game plan was just to kind of, as the race was progressing, was just to kind of follow the leaders and see what they did. And, the 51 car was in the lead most of the time, compared to the other guys, the guys that hadn't taken tires yet. So he was still in the lead, and he decided not to take tires. So we felt like he was the car to beat. So we decided not to take tires as well with him.
And then here comes the rain, well, not the rain, but the drizzles. And, ARCA chose, to let you guys, keep going around the track, so you set a red flag, you bring to see how the rain was going to play out. And good thing it didn't, because it did end up coming towards the end. But it psyched even one driver out enough that Riley Herbst put his window net down. And I'm thinking, I'll call Riley and ask him about that. I haven't had a chance, if he was thinking, that the rain was going to come, that was, going to be it. They're going to pit. But what's going through your mind as it's starting to drizzle you knew you had a legitimate shot once you got your tires to get the win.
Yeah, I was really nervous that they weren't going to let us go back racing. But the one thing that I do have to say we got really lucky on was that I don't think I've ever seen it where it's rained for about 30 seconds before really hard and then stopped raining for racing to be able to go back 10 laps and then all of a sudden start raining again. So that was something that was pretty crazy. So definitely got lucky there, but we had a really fast car, and we were able to go from 11th to the lead in about four laps. So, once again, just great guys behind me, always bringing great race cars to the track each and every weekend, and a great call by the guys. And I felt like, we all did a really good job on capitalizing on what we needed to do, and everybody did their part.
So I'm thinking after the race, come Sunday morning, you probably called up 1-800-4-FLOWERS and sent Mother Nature a big old huge thing of long stem roses to say thank you for holding back and let me get this win.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I definitely, now thinking back on it, I should have gone and bought some lottery tickets.
And with that, I'm gonna turn it over to Sharon.
Okay, Dalton, you're now 130 points away from the lead in the series. And you have, how many more races left to make up that gap?
Nine more to go right now, and I feel like we've done a really good job so far. Ever since Talladega, we've been at a little bit of a disadvantage. That wreck really set us back a lot, I think about 210 points. So slowly and surely, we're closing it down a lot. To close up 80 points already is something that's pretty big, but still have another 130 to go, but if we keep on doing the job that we need to do and keep on having good results like we have been the past couple weekends, then hopefully we'll be there at the end.
Okay. Now, your crew chief is Chad Bryant. You guys have been doing a really great job, like you say, of cutting into that point gap. Your next race is going to be at Pocono Raceway for the ModSpace 150 that's coming up this Friday. What are your thoughts going into that race?
I'm really excited. That's probably my favorite, larger track that we race at. It's just so different each and every corner, and it's just makes for some really good racing. Things get kind of spread out, but at the same time, when cars are faster than another, there's some really great battles between the two, and the front stretch is so long that drafting's involved and blocking, so I think it really makes for a great show, and I'm looking forward to going there. I know we struggled a little bit there earlier in the year, having a wreck and having to go to the backup car and start last, but we still had a solid top 10 finish, and if we can't capitalize on that this year or this next race, we should be in good shape.
Okay, and so you've got some more redemption to take care of out there at Pocono Raceway this weekend.
Yeah, we definitely have
making up for
just trying to make up for, and at the same time we have to be really smart, just with the points and everything. Obviously, our main goal is to always kind of finish in front of the 52 car, and we were able to do that last time there, so I feel like should be in a good position going back. And it's one of my favorite racetracks. I would absolutely love to win there. I think the trophy is just the coolest thing, you know, the eagle with the American flag and everything. And that's just super special. So I'd love to have one of those on the mantle. So we'll all be doing everything that we can to be able to go out there and get that win.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool. Now, one factor that will be in play this year that was not in play last year was your toughest competitor at Lucas Oil Raceway, Michael Self. Talk about racing with Michael, because you had to get past him for that win. Obviously, the four tires, the four fresh tires made a huge difference. But talk about racing with him.
Yeah, he's done a really great job each and every weekend in that car. And, you know, I've had a lot of fun racing with him. I had to pass him to take the lead at Iowa as well. So, you know, he's been really strong each and every weekend. And at the same time, you know, I think we've been doing a great job at, you know, just being just a little bit better. So hopefully we can just kind of keep on doing that and just keep on winning. That's what I'd like to do.
Well, that's always the objective, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's go ahead and go back to Sal so he can cut into those 50 questions.
Jeez, I can't believe, Sherry, you almost forgot my name.
I know. I just sorry about that, Sal.
That's okay. You know, and actually, Sharon brought up a good point. It was the competition, you know, between you and Michael Self, you know, during the race, it was, you know, seemed like Michael had a pretty good pit strategy himself, but you know, like you said, you know, waiting till the end, you know, was going to be, and I'm sure a lot of people realize that, but you're coming towards the end, and you know, you're running out of laps. You guys come in and pit. Was there ever a time that you thought maybe we waited a little bit too long to come in?
Yeah, I was definitely a little bit nervous. You know, I was just it was like lap 25 that I was, you know, starting to kind of get a little bit nervous. Like, okay, I hope there's a caution now. You know, just waiting for somebody to either, you know, kind of get it tangled up and something or whatnot. There was a lot of hard racing going on, and with everybody, you know, having fresh tires, it was pretty tough competition for all those guys up there, you know, that had gotten around me. So I was just kind of hoping for something, and then all of a sudden, I think it was about lap 20, lap 22, something around there, 22 to go, that the rain started falling. And I was a little bit nervous that they were going to call the race right there, because that was a big point loss between me and the 52 car. If that was the way that it would have finished, with him in second and myself back in, you know, just outside the top 10. So I got really lucky that we were able to kind of go back racing.
You know, and actually going back to that point, you know, point in time in the race, you know, when the rains did come, you know what? I'll tell you, it made for an awesome race for the fans to watch. You know, that were sitting there, because each fan watching, of course, you know, we all have our favorites. You know, and of course, you want your favorite, you know, to be there. No one ever wants it to end on a you know, because of rain. But then, you know, just the way it set up, you know, for the ending, and then, you know, for you to come back, you know, and pick up all those laps as fast as you did and finally get around Michael and take the win. It was an exciting race.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun in the driver's seat as well.
Oh, I can imagine you probably had the best seat. And I can imagine all your whole team, man, when I seen them go out there, you know, after the win, they were like, I'm sure a couple of them were like, wow, you know, did we cut it too close or not?
Yeah, definitely. I knew that was going to be one of the toughest races kind of going into it as well, just as much as I struggled there last year. And it's a really tough track, so to be able to win there. I know there was a lot of big people there from that had come over from the Speedway, so it was a really special win as well.
Well, Don, congratulations on the win again. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Thank you.
Okay, Dalton, let's give you a chance to do any shout-outs that you might want to do for team members or sponsors, whatever.
Yep, I always got to say thank you to my team owner, Briggs Cunningham, as well as sponsor Big Time for everything that they do. Really great having them on this year, as well as Performance Plus Motor Oil. Huge thank you to them as well. And if anybody ever wants to follow along, you can always follow along on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, all at Dalton Sargent.
Okay, that's fantastic, Dalton. Again, next up is this Friday at Pocono Raceway, the Tricky Triangle. And I know a lot of folks are looking forward to seeing what you do at the track this weekend in the ARCA Racing Series. Good luck to you, and who knows, you might be back with us again next week.
Hopefully. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, okay, take care now.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Dalton Sargent, back-to-back winner in the ARCA Racing Series with Cunningham Motorsports. Fantastic win, both at Iowa Speedway and again this weekend at Lucas Oil Raceway for Dalton Sargent. With 130 points to go and 9 races left to run, Sal, I think Dalton's really on a mission to make a go at that championship.
Yeah, Sharon, I have to agree with you. And you know what? And this, I think this championship is going to go down, you know, to the last few races. You know, he's you know, like you said, he's got a ton of momentum, you know, going for him right now. And, you know, the thing is, you know, it's, you know, like every race car driver will say, you know what, when you got the momentum, you have to ride it out, you know, until the wheels fall off. You know, this is a good time to pick it up, you know, towards, you know, the second half of the season. But, you know, there's still a lot of racing left. So it's going to be exciting, you know, when it finally comes down, you know, to the last checkered flag, you know, and the champion is crowned.
Absolutely. We've got another ARCA driver coming on board here at the 9 p.m. segment, Sal. Christian Eckes announced along with Venturini Motorsports, announced that they've extended a partnership through the 2018 season in the ARCA Racing Series. And he's been racing part-time the last couple of years. He had a top 10 finish. In fact, he finished 10th. At Lucas Oil Raceway this last weekend. And I think he's had a string of top 10 finishes just recently. He drives the number 15 car for Venturini. He's a high school honor student and still manages to race in the ARCA Racing Series and some late model events as well. He has 3 top fives and has led an impressive 272 laps in 6 starts this season. So he's not racing full-time in the ARCA Racing Series, but every time he comes out, he's doing really well with Venturini Motorsports. Now, his next races that he'll be racing with Venturini, in addition to racing at Lucas Oil Raceway this last weekend, he'll be racing again at Winchester Speedway on August the 6th and Salem Speedway on September the 9th. So he has 2 more races with Venturini this season, and then he'll continue with them in the 2018 season as well.
Wow, what a list of accomplishments. Plus, you know, you have to throw in, you know, the Snowball Derby win that he had last year, you know, in December. You know, that was another one, you know, that was a marathon race, you know, finishing up on Tuesday when we're supposed to be done on Sunday. I had to leave early because I had to go to work, and I was upset because I wanted to stay. I didn't care if there was a monsoon coming and a tornado was going to wipe out the whole city. I wanted to be there for that race. But yeah, it was a really good, you know, and, you know, probably a good stepping stone, you know, into what he's doing now.
Absolutely, and to be racing, I believe it's the full season next year, and it seems like they're pretty excited to have Christian Eckes coming on board at Venturini. Billy Venturini had some great things to say about him in the press release that came out, and it's just really impressive what he's been able to do on a part-time schedule. Now, he also races some late models. We'll talk to him a little bit about how he got into racing and how he's feeling about this new partnership. I'm guessing that he's feeling pretty good about it, and the relationship there will continue to get better as they finish up this season and get into next season.
Yes, it's gonna. It's always exciting for a driver. You know, when they know ahead of time, what their season plans are for next year. I'm sure, we'll ask him, how much pressure is it taking off of him, he's already signed in, and now, it's time to, of course, they're always working 24 hours anyways, and they're driving, getting ready for, whatever comes up, but it's going to be a really interesting interview with him.
It is. I'm going to introduce him right now. He just arrived. We have a lot to talk to him about. Christian Eckes has been racing with Venturini, as we mentioned, part-time the last couple of years, has been racing the ARCA Racing Series part-time the last couple of years. He has two more races left with Venturini Motorsports this season, at Winchester and again at Salem. But last week it was announced that Christian Eckes will be racing 15 races with Venturini Motorsports for the 2018 season. Congratulations, Christian, on that announcement. And you also had a top 10 finish at Lucas Oil Raceway this last weekend.
Yeah, thank you. It really means a lot to be able to race for Venturini once again this coming year. We showed a lot of speed this year. I really love my team, so I figured it'd be really worth it to come back and spend a couple more races with them next year. I'm really looking forward to this year, but at the same time, I'm still hungry for a win this year, and, this year's still ahead of us, and we're really looking forward to the next couple races. Lucas Oil, we had a few hiccups, but, we still came through and powered through as a team. We had a little bit of a restart problem, and, we eventually had to make a green flag pit stop to fix the damage and came back from two laps down and, got back on the lead lap and came over to top 10. So it was just a real determination and everything by my team. It was really cool to be able to still finish really good like that.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that was impressive that you were able to come from two laps down and still make your way into the top 10. Before the race was over. And, in fact, the last seven races, you have finished in the top 10 with Venturini. Talk about the determination that you just spoke of, that it took to be able to get back onto the lead lap and then to race your way up to that top 10.
It definitely took a lot of courage. It's really tough to be able to sit there knowing you're two laps down and try as hard as you can. But, fortunately, we were able to power through. I was able to power through, even though I really didn't want to, but we were still able to power through and dig deep, and we passed a ton of cars because we'd make our way up into the field and then caution come out and we'd have to go all the way back. So it was a lot of fun, but at the same time, I thought we had a race winning car, and it definitely sucks at the end, but I'm just really proud of my team to be able to battle back like that.
Absolutely. I thought it was pretty impressive to see you come back from that two laps down and finish in the top 10. Now, with us tonight is our co-host, Sal Segala, and I know he has some questions for you as well. Sal?
Yeah, I'm here. First of all, Christian, good evening, and I just want to thank you, for taking the time, to call in the show tonight.
Okay.
There's always a question that's always asked, throughout the racing world, one of them is, a driver goes out and he wins a big race. Is that a stepping stone to get into something bigger, or how does it mount up? We seen a few years ago when Eric Jones beat Kyle Busch for the win at the Snowball Derby, which is the biggest, short track race in the nation. Kyle Busch signed him. Last year, you won the Snowball Derby. Do you feel that helped you to get where you're at now, or was it, or did you already have something planned for this season with Venturini?
I definitely think that boosted our relationship even more. This year in particular, we already had the deal signed before Snowball Derby, but this year, definitely was a huge confidence booster, of course, but I thought it helped quite a bit and, you know, building relationships. You know, it's just such a huge race and such a prestigious race that, you know, it really was great to be able to win that race. And, you know, all the thank yous and stuff from the big names in the sport was really cool. And, you know, I definitely think it helped quite a bit.
You know, and especially, you know, being you're only 16 years old, you're still young. And you know, we talk to a lot of drivers, and, you know, something always comes up because me and Sharon are kind of like old school. But, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it was unheard of for anybody under the age of almost 25 years old, you know, to even be, you know, racing, you know, these big stock cars. You know, and here you are, you know, 16, you know, you're, you know, on the, you know, making national headlines. You know, like I said, you know, you did win the biggest, you know, short track race in the nation, you know, and then here you are, you know, with a team like a Venturi Motorsports.
Yeah, I mean, it means a ton to me, you know, to be on the same list as Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, and Eric Jones. You know, Chase Elliott and Eric Jones, especially because they were both 16 when they won the Derby. It just, you know, it just really means a lot to be on such a prestigious list. You know, there's a lot of Cup drivers on there, and, you know, that really means a lot to be able to win the same race that they have.
You know, Christian, and actually coming up through the ranks, you know, to get to where you're at today, I'm sure, you know, you have your bucket list is probably huge, you know, as far as, you know, what you want to accomplish, you know, by the time maybe you're, say, 21, 22 years old. Of course, getting into the ARCA series, you know, it is one of the, in my opinion, you know, it's one of the best series out there right now, next to, you know, of course, next to the trucks. But, you know, as far as, you know, giving the younger driver, you know, a chance to get their feet wet, you know, and know what it's like, you know, to race a touring series. Not only that, but, you know, you have the pit stops, and then you have, you know, a lot of the tracks that the Monster Energy Cup races on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the ARCA Racing Series has been a huge step in my career, to say the least. You know, it was definitely, you know, growing up, I remember watching ARCA on TV, and, you know, it was always, you know, I wish I could be there one day when I just started racing. And, you know, it means a lot to be able to have such good teams behind me and allow me to race at their race teams. You know, I went to the shop today, and it's just a really good environment. I love being there, and, you know, it's going to be even better next year, I believe.
Awesome. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, Christian. Your team owner, at Venturini Motorsports, Billy Venturini, had a lot of really great things to say about you. He sees a lot of potential in you as a driver, but he says you do a lot both on and off the track to do your part. Talk a little bit about what it is you do and what you think he sees in you.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's really cool to be able to have Billy's support like I do. You know, he's a huge supporter of me and, you know, what we're able to accomplish so far this year and what I've accomplished. You know, it just means a lot to have a team owner that's so involved and so just in the what we are and everything like that. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's the same part. You know, the team does their part every week. Sure, we have a couple hiccups, but, you know.
Uh-oh. I don't know if it's me or if we lost Chris. Christian? He's still in the queue, Sal. Can you hear him?
You there?
Yeah, I hear him. I hear him, sure.
Okay, here. Oh, okay. I wasn't hearing him, so I don't know what happened there. Okay.
Sorry about
that. Sorry.
I think my headphones died there. I'm sorry. But, you know, it really means a lot to have the support like it does from Billy. You know, he's so involved, and he really is focused on, you know, winning and having good finishes. So, you know, it really means a lot to have Billy's support. And at the same time, I need to do my part, and he needs to do his part. You know, the same thing he has. I feel like I've done it for the most part so far this year, and, you know, we've really just been able to dig deep and get some good finishes so far.
Okay. Now, Christian, one of the things that we've talked about off and on this show is, you know, drivers who also spend time in the race shop and working on their car or the communications with their crew chief and so forth. Talk a little bit about that. Are you working on your car throughout the week before you go out to race?
Yeah, absolutely. On my super late models, whenever we race, with Fury race cars, I'm at the shop working on my car and, getting it ready for the next week because, it really helps as a driver to be able to go out in the shop and learn everything about the race car and, what changes need to be done. And same thing with the ARCA. I have a general understanding of everything that goes on within the race car, and it really just helps, being able to adjust the race car. And, once we get to the track, I can tell my crew chief what it needs. And, it brings a lot of potential, I think, to the table.
I think so too, Christian. It kind of shortcuts the communication between you and the crew chief on what it is you need in order to race better on the track. Talk a little bit about the relationship that you have with your crew chief. You did a little bit with Billy Venturini. He's the co-owner. Who's your crew chief?
My crew chief is actually Jeff McClure, and we get along really well. It's cool to go to the shop and have a good relationship with your crew chief and joke around a little bit. But we're all business as soon as we get to the racetrack, and we're there to win and run good. And for the most part this year, we've brought excellent race cars. We just have had a few hiccups that haven't fully went our way. But I'm still really supportive of my team, and my team's really supportive of me, and it's just been a really, really cool deal to be able to have so much support this year.
Absolutely, and it's obvious that it's a mutual respect that's developing there that's going to take you into this 2018 season. You're racing 15 races. That's the entire schedule, right?
All but the 5 races I cannot run. There's, I think, Daytona, Talladega, and there's 3 other racetracks that I could not run next year. I'd love to go run those, but just the rules, I'll be 17 next year, and you have to be 18 to run those racetracks.
To run those races. So you won't be able to necessarily run for the championship next year, but the experience is going to be huge for you. And I think you've already opened a lot of eyes to your talent. So this is just going to give you more opportunity to do that. I'm going to pass the mic back over to Sal. So if he has any other questions, he can go ahead and ask those now.
Christian, if there's any one piece of advice you can give to, to some of the, some of the younger drivers that are listening, what would you say would be the one piece of advice that you would give them, if they're looking, to climb the, the racing ladder?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it's not always going to go to your way, to be honest. Favorite saying I've ever heard is A plus B equals C. A is what happens, your job. If you do your job complete, you can mark X or A off. B is the stuff you can't control, whether it's crash or, not a race car that you don't, it just doesn't fit your style. And then C is your result. Once you get your result, you have to have A and B both go to the best of the ways to, be able to get your best result. And, it's just really hard to get a best C. It's never going to really go your way. But, there's definitely, when it goes your way, it's going to be great.
That's pretty awesome, and actually that can even go for us, life in general, because, nothing is ever given to us, it's stuff we have to work for. And I know for you to be the best that you can be, to go out there and manhandle those race cars the way you do, you have to, I'm sure, you put a lot of time in it at the gym and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. You have to do your part, and the team has to do your part or their part for the best result. And, we've really been able to this year, dig deep and do that. It's definitely a little frustrating, coming off a big win last year and not getting a win since. But, we've definitely done our job, and, we've been able to get some good finishes throughout the year.
So when you're at the shop, you know, and you know, you're talking with the crew chief, you're talking with the owner, you know, all the people that work on the car, what is the one race dynamic, you know, whether it be tires, whether it be suspension, you know, whether it be, you know, the feel of the gas, the feel of the brake, you know, the way the car handles, what would you say would be your one strength when it comes to giving feedback to your crew chief?
Definitely suspension. You know, I take a lot of time, especially on my super late models, you know, disassembling our shocks and stuff like that, and just our suspension components, you know, because it really just, I think it really helps you know, knowing what's under your race car and what's under the hood. And, you know, I'm not 100% sure on the ARCA racing stuff yet, but, you know, running 15 races next year, I think I'll have a little bit better understanding then. But, you know, it definitely helps a lot to be able to know what's going on within the race car and, you know, just in general on, you know, stuff like that.
You know, and actually that's one of the things, you know, that I see that lacks at a lot of the tracks that I shoot at, you know, is the younger, you know, the younger generation, you know, that are in the cars, you know, it seems like they're more worried about, you know, walking around the track and, you know, having fun with their friends, you know, than actually, you know, staying in their pit area, you know, when their car's up on jacks, you know, climbing underneath, you know, and looking and asking questions, you know, whatever it may be. While the parents are at the shop, the teams at the shop, you know, they're out RC racing or, you know, doing amusement parks and beach or whatever. And we had Nick Joannides on the show about a month ago. And he's an old school racer from out here in California. He's won a ton of races. He knows what it's like to have to work to buy parts for your car when he was young. He knows what it's like when you came back on Saturday night and Sunday morning, you had to get up and you had to work on the car. If you didn't work on the car, you didn't have nothing for the following weekend.
Yeah. You know, I have the same mindset, to be honest with you. You know, I think you need to work on your race car. If you don't, then how do you know what to do? You know, my favorite saying is if you wreck it, you need to fix it. Because if you wreck it a bunch of times and don't fix it, you'll never learn, you know, the basics. And, you know, it makes you not want to wreck it when you have to work on it. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's been a really good experience to be able to go to my super shop and stuff like that and be able to work on our cars and really get them, you know, to the best of their ability.
So how do you balance all of this knowledge with your race car with school?
You know, I'm an online student, which really helps. You know, I can go to the racetrack and everything in the afternoon, but do my schoolwork in the morning. So it's just, it makes everything a lot easier for me. I don't know if I'd be able to do it, to be honest with you, if I went to public school. But, you know, the online school really helps, to be honest with you.
That's great. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, Christian. Again, we want to thank you for being on the show with us tonight. We really do appreciate it. And before you go, I want to give you an opportunity to shout out your team members, sponsors, and give us your social media handles so fans know how they can follow you.
Yeah, you can follow me on most social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and a whole bunch of other ones. It should be under @ChristianEckes. You know, I'm done. Like I said, I'm just really thankful for my team, you know, my family, my fans, supporters, everything like that. You know, they've been a huge support this year when we've been down, and, you know, I can't thank them enough for the support, and you know, I'm just really looking forward to next year. Well, actually, the rest of this year. Gotta do that first.
And just talk about, because we talked about this a little bit before you came on, just the pressure of the pressure release, I should say, of now knowing that you've got 15 races next season with Venturini Motorsports, and what that means for you with these upcoming races.
Oh, you'd say it's a huge confidence booster, and it relieves a lot of stress because, you know, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sure what I was going to do at the beginning of this year. But, you know, to have a basic idea halfway through the season and have a solid contract in place, you know, it really just allows me to dig deep for the rest of the year and know that I have a secure thing for next year. It just means a lot to me.
I bet it does. And I think it's great to hear that you and Venturini are going to partner up for the remainder of this season with those two races at Winchester and Salem Speedway this year and then going into 15 races next season. So congratulations on that, Christian. And again, thank you so much for being here. We hope to have you back again sometime again, perhaps this season, but definitely next season.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Take care now.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Okay, that's Christian Eckes with Venturini Motorsports. He does speak with a lot of confidence, I think, Sal. And you can tell he's very serious about his racing, about his schoolwork. He's an honor student. I've got a feeling no matter what he does, he takes it very seriously.
Oh, yeah, you can tell just by the, by the conversation, like you said, that we had with him right now, even to the point, that's why I wanted to ask, about, what was one of the toughest dynamics, the car, when he gets to the shop, because, he said suspension and it's true because especially with the super late models, you only get one shot to adjust the cars. That's during practice. And then after that, you're out on the track, for the, however many laps, 100 laps, 200 laps or 300 laps. And there ain't, so you have to know what your car is doing in order for some tracks, you only get 2 30-minute practice sessions. You got basically an hour, to try and set up the car, once it comes off the trailer, to see what it's going to do, make it, a winning car.
Absolutely. And, in his last 7 races, he has top 10 finishes in all of them. So I would expect that that's going to continue and perhaps even improve in these next 2 races. Now, I do want to get into the Xfinity Series again. I do have some post-race comments from William Byron. He becomes the youngest winner, Sal, to ever win at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I think it's 16 years, 7 months, and 23 days. So for some reason, I think it's 19 instead of 16. Do you know, Sal?
No, I don't.
I think it is 19 years. He becomes the youngest winner to ever win at the Brickyard. And we have his post-race comments here. So we'll listen to a couple of minutes of that, and then you and I can talk briefly on the other side.
All right.
We're going to continue on with today's NASCAR Xfinity post-race press conferences, and we are joined by the winner of the 6th annual Lilly Diabetes 250, and that's William Byron, driver of the number 9 Liberty University Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports. And today, William became the youngest NASCAR Xfinity Series winner at Indianapolis Motor Speedway at the age of 19 years, 7 months, and 23 days. And you had to do it by holding off Paul Menard, who's a winner of the Brickyard 400. How nervous were you in those final closing laps as you saw that 2 car on your tail and trying to get around you?
Yeah, I definitely knew he and the 22 were really strong. It looked like Joey kind of faded at the end, but I thought he was our biggest competition. And we just, throughout the last 15 or 20 laps, I thought the tire was going to go. But somehow it held on, and that was the biggest key. I think we had seen some tire wear on our cars the runs before, and we had never run 40 laps like that straight. So I was a little bit worried about it, but the pace kind of slowed up enough for us. And I thought it was awesome. It was a great place to pass, and you could kind of get around guys, and that made it exciting for us.
Okay, we're going to open up the floor for questions. If you have a question, we'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start here with Tim, and then we'll go to Jerry.
Over here. You're not only the winner of the youngest winner of a NASCAR race here, but of any major race, top 2 series here, 500, Indy Lights, anything. What does that mean to you?
I mean, it means a lot. It's this is the first time I've come here a couple days ago, and it's such a special place walking into the place. And, I've watched a lot of races on here on TV and seen the history. And to make laps around here is really special. And just to kind of see how the front stretch is like it is with grandstands on both sides, how narrow it is when you come down the front stretch. So it's a really special place, and it's neat to get a win, and I think it just does a lot for us this year and hopefully keeps propelling us to a championship.
We'll go next to Jerry.
Okay, Sal. 19 years, 7 months and 23 days. First time he races at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and William Byron comes home with the victory as the youngest ever to win at that track.
Yeah,
pretty
sure.
Amazing.
It's amazing. That's a huge accomplishment. You know, something, you know, that even if somebody does come, you know, and take it from him, you know what, but he was still there, you know, and he held a piece of it. And that is just awesome.
It really is. You know, he's got 3 races that he's won this season. And in the Xfinity Series, he is now 2nd, I believe, in the series point standings. He is behind Elliott Sadler by 40 points. He has 17 playoff points, which is more than any other Xfinity Series driver. No other Xfinity Series driver has double-digit playoff points. So that's a huge accomplishment for him as well.
Oh, yeah, it is. Let me see, I'm trying to pull up that sheet. My computer just died.
No, I'm sorry.
There it goes. It's going up and down. I don't know. It's weird. The screen went off and it went on. Did anybody out there know how to fix it? You can email me the sheet. There it goes. It just popped up again.
Okay.
What a crazy thing. Yeah.
Well,
it was,
you're working on that, Sal.
Yeah,
I'll just mention
okay,
too that he continues to lead the Rookie of the Year standings as well.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, I'm up. Yeah, he's not leading it. He's running away with it. Kind of like almost. But
yeah.
I mean, yeah, he has a good lead over Cole Custer. And actually, Cole moved up a spot because Cole was third last year. Last week, Cole was third.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Cole had another top 5 finish. The top 5 this week, William Byron, Paul Menard, Joey Logano, Elliott Sadler, and Cole Custer. Of course, William Byron and Cole Custer are the 2 rookies in that top 5 group.
Yes. Can you imagine if William Byron had more stage points? Gosh, man. He would be definitely running away with this thing, you know. He's sitting he's already sitting in the catbird seat, you know. But what an awesome season he's having.
He really is when you think about it. He does, as I mentioned earlier, have more playoff points than any other Xfinity Series driver at 17. The next closest to him, as I look run down the list here, is Elliott Sadler, who's in 1st place in the series point standings. He has 5 playoff points compared to William Byron, 17. And then in 3rd place is Justin Allgaier, who has 7 playoff points. So he's those are the veterans of the Xfinity Series, and the rookie has them both beat when it comes to those playoff points. Plus, he has 3 wins.
Yeah.
He's the only driver in that series with 3 wins.
Yeah, you can't count out the wins. The wins are big, too. You know, it's kind of like the domination we seen last year in the Truck Series with or was it Xfinity Series with Eric Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the Xfinity
yep,
series.
It is.
Too, the same series, yeah. That's right, same series.
Okay, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but a lot of big news at Hendrick Motorsports, and William Byron is certainly affiliated with them through Junior Motorsports in the Xfinity Series. So we'll pick up on that part of the conversation later. But for now, let's get into your guest that's coming on here during the 9:30 half hour. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, our next guest is the head tech over at Orange Grove Speedway. I was just there this past weekend again. And, you know, we, of course, the big thing at any track is tech. We've seen what, for any of you that follow short track racing, you see what happened at the Summer Showdown up in Monroe, you know, where I think it was four or five cars left because of tech, you know, bottom line is they didn't pass tech, so they couldn't race. We're starting to see it a lot more, you know, at the short tracks. Preston Peltier, who won the race, kind of made a comment in a nutshell that the West Coast is known for having very lax, you know, when it comes to tech, they're very lax, and like back east, you know, where they have the likes, and we've had them on the show before, Sharon is Ricky Brooks, and how strict it is with the tech. So they brought in somebody to do the tech this past weekend over there. But either way, Robert has a heck of a job because he's got a – it's not like NASCAR, you know, where NASCAR has their, you know, tech for only a couple series. Robert has to deal with all the series that are there at the track because Orange Show isn't a NASCAR-sanctioned track, so which means that he has to be tech for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 different divisions.
That's incredible because they're all a little bit different. So he's got to know where those differences are.
Yeah, he does. And then put up with the attitudes, man. The drivers, these drivers, they just get bad. You tell them anything, you know, your air pressures are off, you know, whatever it might be. I'm just using air pressure as an example. And right away, you know, they want to chew your head off and you know, bite it and step on it, you know, and put it back on your neck, you know, so you can, you know, hopefully rectify it.
Okay, well, your guest is here now, Sal, if you want to go ahead and do the introductions.
Okay, our next guest is I actually asked him on Saturday to come on the show, and I was really looking forward to having him on. It's kind of like with me and Sharon, we've had different people from the track on, from promoters. We've had tire guys, we've had photographers, and I don't think we've really ever dabbled into having a tech official on the show, and I thought this would be a good time to bring it up, you know, to have a tech official. So I asked him on Saturday, you know, and I'm glad that he was able to, you know, to accept the, you know, I'm going to call it a challenge because there's going to be a lot of questions asked. But with that, we want to welcome Robert Ridding to the show. And with that, Robert, welcome to Fab for Racing.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, it's in a nutshell, kind of let our listeners know kind of what the tech official, what he does at the track, what his job is, and some of the pluses and some of the, you know, the minuses of taking on this responsibility.
Well, I mean, starting back before the season even starts, I want to say we got started this year in January trying to iron out a rule book and kind of agree on rules. We at Orange Show, we actually have a set of board members who kind of get together and try to help the betterment of that racetrack. I know it struggled for a couple of years, which is actually what kind of brought me on this year. And then once we get a set of rules going, you know, get them dispersed to everyone, and then I basically get to be, you know, I guess King Kong, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I have to make sure everyone plays by the rules. We made a lot of changes in a lot of divisions this year. I was not a very popular person in the beginning of the year, but it actually has upped our car count in a few divisions, being a lot more strict with tech. Believe it or not, being laxed with tech actually scared a lot of guys away the last 2-3 years at Orange Show.
You know, and actually right there, you know, where you said, you know, being, you know, kind of like the bad guy, you know, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, they don't realize that, I mean, the drivers are going to push the gray areas. They're going to push areas that they feel that maybe the tech official doesn't know about. And this is kind of your job to kind of, I'm not saying catch them, but to kind of keep everybody on their toes and let them know that, hey, you know what, you know, we're going to follow the rules. You know, that's what the rules are set for.
Correct. And unfortunately for the guys at Orange Show, you know, they get extra special circumstances because I've been on the other side of the racing fence since I was 12. You know, I've done everything from being a tire guy in the E Series to going over the wall in the West Series to the last 2 years I did the Lucas Oil Modified Series with Lenny White. So I myself know how to bend the rules and how to interpret them in a way that would benefit myself. So it's extremely hard for these guys to try and circle around and try and do anything like that with me.
You know, and actually those are the best tech officials because, you know, we kind of touched on Ricky Brooks earlier, and that's why Ricky is one of the most sought after tech officials, because Ricky was on the side of the fence like you, and Ricky knows every inch of the car, you know, where drivers, you know, can try and get away with something. And it's important to run a straight up show, because like you said, if not, it's chasing the drivers away, chasing the racers away. And the thing you want to do is you want to build your track. You know, you don't want it to have the moniker, and just put it out there bluntly, is, you know, there's politics at the track and certain people get special privileges and other ones don't.
Correct. And that was the big question, you know, going into this year. You know, my whole reasoning with even helping the Orange Show this year, other than, you know, I've known Rod Proctor personally for 4 or 5 years now, and what he's done for that place is just, I mean, there's no words for what he's done for everyone that races there. But, I mean, I've been at that racetrack since I was 3 months old, you know. And with what's going on with racing in the Southwest and tracks disappearing, cars disappearing, I figured, you know, I didn't really want to travel anymore and do any kind of racing like that. So I figured I'd just spend my time trying to keep my home track around.
And it's been a task. I mean, I've been around Orange Show for a long time, you know, and I, you know, kind of being on the media side with the writing, now doing the photography, you know, but still, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, you see it, you know, because, you know, we're in the pits. I mean, that's where everything happens, in the pits, you know, pit/garage area. But, you know, so when the drivers go through the first tech of the day, what is kind of like the order, that you take, you know, to try and, you know, keep everything fair and at the same time keep the drivers happy?
Our first tech of the day, especially now getting this late in the year, is a pretty routine. Just let them roll the scales. I always tell everyone, you know, I don't care what your car weighs at home. You know, our scales may be different, but that's why we give you the opportunity to roll them before practice. And just roll through some general things, you know, check track width across the front of the cars. And we have very few body rules there, but try and make sure that, you know, anything obvious is pointed out so that they have an opportunity to fix it before they present it for qualifying. Because when we get to qualifying, it's black and white. You get no second chances. And so then, you know, I mean, especially if they show it a second time and it's the same exact way, you know, then they're on the bad list, I guess, for the rest of the night, you know, and kind of keeping an extra eye on people like that who don't even and make an effort, you know, when you're making an effort to make their life easier.
Hmm. Interesting. And with that, Robert, I'm going to turn it over to our show host, Sharon. I know she's got a lot of some questions for you about this subject too. Sharon?
Robert, thank you so much for being on the show with us tonight. I know you're probably a busy guy, and we appreciate you taking the time to be here tonight. You know, being an official, the head official tech guy at Orange Show Speedway is not an easy job. You talked a little bit about a lot of what Orange Show Speedway has been through and that, you know, you're building the reputation of the track by enforcing the rules. That's got to be the hardest part of the job. But at the same time, when you do it well, you know, you're also attracting other people who want to race in that kind of an environment.
Correct. You know, I mean, we've probably, DQ'd. I mean, between our five divisions, I think we've gotten probably seven or eight guys this year, and we've actually gotten more pats on the back than we have been called every name under the sun. Just because, you know, guys, I don't know if they're almost, if I know a couple were just misinterpretations of others. I know a few offhand were just blatant. And I mean, even those guys didn't really throw too much of a fit. You know, I think everyone kind of, for the most part, kind of knew going into this year that this was how it was going to be. And I don't know if maybe they thought they'd just give it a go, you know, for the first couple of races. And they got a rude awakening to that. But for the most part, everyone's been pretty accepting to it. My biggest problem's been our late model division. It'll always be my biggest headache because it's a combo division. It runs both late models and super lates. And about 90% of that field are people I consider personal friends, which makes that job three times as hard.
Hi. I would think so, because now you've got to, if any of your friends are involved in something that is not within the specifications, now you've got to address it with your friends. But I'm sure people know to keep the friendship separate from, you know, what's happening at the track and everything. And I'm glad to hear that for the most part everybody's kind of in line with what the direction is and what you're trying to accomplish there. Talk a little bit about, making that kind of transition, because it sounds like coming into this season, you had to do a lot of communication with the teams to let them know that this was coming and how that went. Talk a little bit about that, because people generally don't like change.
Correct. And there was a lot of backlash probably before the year even started, because there was a couple, like, say, for instance, our mini stock division had a weird interpretation of a rule that was written by the guy who was the previous tech director the last 3 years, and half of our division ran this part, the other half didn't. So we gave the mini stocks the opportunity to vote at the beginning of the year on what they wanted to do. Whereas in our late models, we handed them a piece of paper and said, here you go, this is how it is, don't really care if you like it. So then, you know, we had people going back and forth, well, you let them vote, we didn't get to vote, and it turned into a big headache, and we finally just told everyone, you know, here's your rule book, I'm sorry if you don't like it, but this is how it's going to be, and this is what we're going by. And then even with that, you know, our late model division, like I said, you know, because it's a combo division, we've had to make kind of on the fly changes to it because we were losing cars because they didn't feel they could compete. The rules, you know, didn't really favor anything other than the super lates. And we went into this year with a big unknown. We completely switched tires. We used to run recaps, which were god-awful. And they had finally gotten the rules package kind of right for that, but we were going to a real tire again, and no one knew what it was going to do. And so we've been really behind the eight ball this year as far as that division goes. We're just starting to get a handle on it. I still don't really care for our package that we have now, but I'm going to start working with that division here probably the next race for next year. And try and get that division ironed out. I think I've got to talk actually to Kenny Shepherd at Madera Speedway. He's got a heck of a package for the combo late model division, and I want to see if something more along the lines of his package would really work better at our racetrack.
Well, that's great. You bring up a really interesting point of view here, because I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, they complain about all the different changes, but a lot of times there's a learning curve that's involved here to find out how that package is going to work on that specific track. And it takes time to get it to where you need it to be. And I like the idea of talking to the other tracks as well. So you know, just bringing that out, I think, is really important. With that, I'm going to go ahead and pass it back to Sal. I know he's got some questions.
You know, Robert, I'm going to go back to where Sharon left off, you know, working with other tracks. How tough is it? You know, I mean, I'm not going to mention tracks and only for the fact, you know, we're, of course, I have to mention Orange Show because, you know, you work at Orange Show. But, you know, trying to get together with the other tracks, you know, whether it be in the area or, you know, immediate area or even, you know, a little bit farther out of the area, you know, to try and get on one level playing field, you know, so this way the cars can go on their off weekends, you know, from track to track without having to spend a whole bunch of money making all sorts of adjustments.
I've actually done a lot of that this year, and it hasn't been as tough as you might think. I've got about 3 or 4 racetracks I talk to pretty regularly if we're going to make a change or if we're thinking about making a change or just seeing how something works at their racetrack if they have a particular engine combination that currently runs at their track. I'll call them and kind of get the rundown on what they've done to that car to make it an even playing field. I've talked to engine builders. They've had zero problem with just telling me exactly what I need to do, what should put what in engine combination, you know, right in line with the engine combinations we have now, so that everyone's on a level playing field right off the bat. Same with racetracks. You know, I kind of picked everyone's brain, more so towards the beginning of the year when we were trying to iron out these rule books, and everyone got back to me, I mean, literally within 24 hours. And we're more than welcoming and more than willing to work with us so that we all have cars that can travel, because if Orange Show cars can go to, you know, other racetracks have cars that can go to us, and it benefits all of racing in the Southwest.
You know, and you know, you had mentioned, you know, about the super late to the late model. That's got to be the toughest thing, you know, with racing, you know, today, you know, is that we don't have the super late model division like we had, you know, I don't know, I'm going to go back 7, 8, you know, 10, whatever, how many years ago, you know, we had both late model and super late. You know, at least you had this, you know, the package for the super late, you know, for the late models. But now, because of dwindling car counts and, you know, tracks trying to stay open, tracks trying to keep, you know, drivers coming back, you know, you had to combine the two series together.
Correct. Yeah, the only person that I know that really has a handle on that, I mean, hands down, is, like I said, was Kenny Shepherd. How he does it, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just a fluke deal and his racetrack's perfect for the package that he has. Like I said, I'd like to work with him, but, I mean, who knows, his package may not work at the Orange Show. I mean, it's probably still going to be a lot of trial and error next year, even, trying to get that division as level as you possibly can. I mean, it's a never-ending vicious circle when you have to have a combo division like that.
Oh yeah, you know, it has to. And I think the thing with Kenny is that, for anybody that knows Kenny, you know, he's one heck of a track promoter. You know, he's just one heck of, you know, whatever he does. But I, you know, like you said, they try to pinpoint, you know, if it's a fluke or if it's something, you know, they've worked working out for a lot of years. But yeah, it does work. And, you know, even though the tracks might be the same or close to the same size, you know, there's a lot of different characteristics, you know, which is, you know, banking, you know, how the track is configured. Of course, one of the biggest things is the racing surface.
Correct. You know, and I think that's where Orange Show is constantly handicapped is no matter how you look at it, it's a one groove racetrack and you need to be on the bottom. And Madera, I would say there's probably a legit 3 grooves there if you needed it to be, definitely 2. And we've tried all year long to get that second groove worked in. We've gotten closer, but it's still not competitive enough to provide 2 wide racing. My family and I are out there every Friday night spraying that racetrack with Coke and bleach, actually, and just trying to get it sticky up there. We're going to switch and actually try and work on a VHT recipe and use that on the outside, see if that can't help. But until we can figure out a way to get two wide racing there, I think the late model division's always going to hurt. And you'll always kind of get that reputation of being more of like a bump and run racetrack, or, you know, guys always run into me. Well, it's kind of the only way to get around anyone there because everyone's on the bottom.
You know, and actually that's, you know, that was another thing I was going to bring up, you know, with the track surface, you know, was the use of, you know, we're seeing NASCAR this year. They're starting to use VHT a lot more. VHT has been around for a long time, you know, and of course, it also, NHRA, that's their bread and butter. I mean, that's what they spray. They'll run all day long. As soon as the pros come out, all the top fuelers, boom, you know what? They stop racing. They put their, you know, they clean the track, clean off. They put their VHT down. And if you ever walk down a track after it's been sprayed with VHT, if your shoes are not tied like super, super tight, you definitely will walk out of your shoe because that VHT will stick to your shoe. And they actually know you're walking in socks.
And that's what I'm hoping for, switching to the VHT. It just seems like our Coke and bleach, as sticky as it is when you're walking on it, I think the weather's too much of a variable using, you know, just straight soda basically. It just, the track's really slick during the daytime, and then it's sometimes it's got grip at night, sometimes it doesn't. It just, we haven't really hit on anything worth continuing to try at this point.
And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, Robert, it's been a really interesting conversation here tonight as the head tech official at Orange Show Speedway. I think you've brought up a lot of really interesting perspectives of what that role entails and some of the challenges, but some of the good things, too, about it. And we really appreciate you being here and chatting with us about that tonight. Hopefully, you'll come back and talk to us again. I'd love to hear how the VHT formula works for you out there at Orange Show Speedway.
I'd love to come back on anytime you guys will have me.
Well, before you go, are you on social media? Do you want to give your social media handles or do any shout-outs before you go?
I'm on social media. I don't know any of my handles. My wife handles all that for me.
Oh, that's all right.
Other than that, any late model racers listening, we've got a big race coming up in October. It's actually the week after Madera's big one. It's going to be worth good money. We're going to start promoting it here probably within the next week, and we'd love to hit some record-breaking numbers with cars. I think with how open our rules package is, we can accept a lot of cars, and I'd love to keep building this racetrack up.
Okay, so late model racers, head on over to Orange Show Speedway's website and check that out as information becomes available. And again, thank you so much for being on the show, and good luck to the rest of your season, and stay in touch with us, okay?
I sure will. Thanks for having me.
Okay, take care now.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right, Sal, that was Robert Rettering, the head tech official at Orange Show Speedway. Like I said, that was a really interesting conversation with him. He kind of highlighted some of the challenges, but he also talked about how well everybody kind of worked together for the most part.
Yeah, that's definitely got to be one of the most hated jobs at the track, besides being the guy that's, you know, when the track is sold out, you know, and everybody wants to drink beer, you know, and you're carding everybody, and, you know, these 18-year-old kids are trying to buy beer, and they're calling names, you know, because they don't want to buy it, because you don't want to sell it to them because they're not of age. So, I mean, being next to that person, being the tech guy, has to be the worst.
Yep. Okay, now, before we go, I want to get into the Monster Energy Cup Series, because Casey Kane came home with his first win. He had 102 race losing streak or winless streak, and he broke that this weekend at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, one of the biggest venues on NASCAR's circuit. That was pretty big for Casey Kane. But one of the things that was really apparent is Casey illustrated for us how draining some of these tracks can be for drivers behind the wheel. He was pretty well spent after that race.
Oh, yeah. He looked like he needed to go to the hospital, I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I don't know if it was just being tired of racing or maybe he just bumped his head and didn't realize he won the race, or I don't know what it was, but I was even wondering, I had to look back and say, is there really a Casey Kane that runs in the Monster Cup in the Monster Energy Series? And I said, oh, yeah,
well,
he races for
very hot.
With Motorsports.
Yeah, it was very hot, Sal, at the racetrack. And then they said that he was actually cramping up a lot when he was doing his post-race interview. We do have some post-race audio from him after that race, and I want to play at least – it's a 20-minute segment. We obviously don't have time for that. But I do want to play at least a couple of minutes of his post-race comments. So let's do that real quick here.
Come on up, guys. We are joined now by the winner of the 24th annual Brantley Gilbert Big Machine Brickyard 400. That is Casey Kane, driver of the number 5 Farmers Insurance Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports. And we have track president Doug Bowles. Doug, you have something you'd like to present here to Casey?
Yeah, I'm excited to present to us. This is my dehydration brother. I got dehydrated in 2013, so he knows what it's like in our infield care center here now. But our folks at Johnston's have a championship ring here that we're going to present to you. What a great race, by the way. It was a lot of fun. We're really excited. I don't know if you heard it, but the PA at one point in time towards the end was saying, who's for Kozlowski and who's for Casey Kane? The crowd exploded. It reminded me of the days when they asked about that with Tony Kanaan running up front. So I'll open this up for you. Present you with your ring. Take it off there.
Okay, hopefully they'll get into the interview here momentarily.
Yeah, he can't hear anything.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and
end. Casey, why don't you pull up the seat and stay a while?
Okay, they're getting into it now.
Had quite a race out there today. Your first victory since 2014, the 18th career victory. But it was one of those wild, crazy, did that really kind of happen kind of days. And then you find your way to victory lane. Were you able to make that happen today?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not going to give up. First off, we had the strategy worked out perfectly when we pitted and we got to the lead. We'd been running like 11th to 14th, somewhere in there, I feel like, and had a pretty good car at the time once we got it to turn. Early on, I was on the tight side, but once we got it to turn, it was actually pretty quick, and we just needed to get the track position, and everything worked out perfectly on that strategy. We got to the front, and then it was restart after restart. We got the first one and was pulling away, and there's a wreck. And the second one, we were 3 wide into 3. There's a wreck. And then the next one, Kozlowski kind of figured out how to get the lead there, and then the final one, we were able to get the lead back. So I had a great car out front. I had a pretty good car all day long. It was just a matter of kind of getting that last little bit of turn in the car and then controlling the track bar to keep rear gripping it as the tires worn off. But I was really happy. Unbelievable to win in Indianapolis. Unbelievable to win a cup race. It's been a while, and it feels really good for myself and my confidence. And I know it's great for our team. We need it as a team. So I was really, you know, excited. I moved here in 1999 and lived here for three summers, raced sprint cars, midgets all around the area, and this was the track that I always wanted to win at and dreamed of racing at. First off, me and my dad, when we first moved here, we got a shop on Gasoline Alley, and then we came over, went to the museum, and then got in a bus, and they bussed us around the track and got to feel the track in a bus, and that was a really cool day. That was in 1999, and that was a blast to be part of that with my dad, and then to be able to race here starting in 2004,
came close at winning some races early on, and led a lot of laps in 12, I think, or 13, and was close again. And to pull it off this year is unbelievable.
Congratulations. We're going to open up the floor.
Okay. That was from Casey Kane. That was kind of an interesting piece there with him talking about coming to that track as a kid with his dad and then coming close to winning a couple of times, I think, once with Tony Stewart and once with another driver I can't think of right offhand, but Clint Bowyer maybe. And at the beginning there, they talked a little bit about he was dehydrated and that's why he was having such a hard time. It was very hot at the track, and that's not easy on these drivers, but it was good to see Casey Kane win that race.
Yeah, it was, Sharon. You know, it was a long, like you said, a long time coming, and with, you know, with him on the chopping block this year, it's man, that one couldn't come at a better time, especially with the magnitude of that race.
Yeah, absolutely. He was racing with Brad Keselowski. That last restart was kind of interesting because he was able to do to Brad Keselowski what Brad Keselowski did to him on the previous restart, and it really worked in Casey Kane's benefit using that same technique.
Oh yeah, it did. He played it to the T. Played it right. You know what? And you know, you really got to give hats off to him. You know, for even trying it. You know, with it.
Absolutely. Now, Casey Kane first, Brad Keselowski second, Ryan Newman third, Joey Logano finished fourth, Matt Kenseth finished fifth. The highest finishing rookie is Daniel Suarez, and looking at the rookie report, he continues to lead in those points. He has 205 over Eric Jones' 196. So that's really good. Martin Truex still holds the lead. Kyle Larson is in second, 48 points behind him, with Kevin Harvick in third, Kyle Busch fourth, and Denny Hamlin is now fifth in the series point standings. Any other shout-outs that you want to make? Matt DiBenedetto, let me just do that one. Matt DiBenedetto had a great race, finishing eighth, and Chris Buescher ninth, and A.J. Allmendinger finishing 10th. Your girlfriend, Danica, finished 11th.
Yeah, right. She had to throw that one in there, huh?
What a joke. Did.
I seriously hope Matt, my buddy Matt Jackson, ain't listening because he's going to, I will never hear the end of that one.
Okay, so at any rate, I know that you have to get going, so tell us real quick where you're going to be this weekend, and I'll go ahead and do the closeout for the rest of the show.
Yeah, I got no idea. Probably back at Irwindale again. I know there's something going on up there this weekend that I had to be there, but it'll probably be back at Irwindale.
Oh, okay.
Man, and I can't wait. Coming up in 2 weeks is finally my trip to Washington, up to Monroe, to Evergreen Speedway.
Oh, yeah, that will be a fun trip.
That's going to be a good one.
Thank you so much for all that you do. We really appreciate you, and I know you got to get going, so you can go ahead and get going, and I'll go ahead and close out the show then, okay?
All right.
Okay, take care.
All right,
now.
Well, thanks, and okay, we'll talk to you next week. Okay.
All righty. Bye-bye. Okay, fans, make sure you follow Sal at Sal_Sagala on Twitter and at Sal Sagala Jr., on Facebook. He always puts up some great photographs from the track, and he's usually at a track every weekend, so you'll definitely want to check that out. Now, we will be back here on Fan for Racing Radio, found on Blog Talk Radio, this Thursday for our preview show with co-host J. M.J. Huseman on Thursday night. And, of course, we'll be previewing Pocono this weekend. The ARCA Racing Series will be there as well. And then, of course, is the combo races this weekend where the East meets the West. That's going to be at Iowa Speedway. So we'll definitely be doing our preview for that as well. Then next Monday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Sal and I will be back right here on Monday night starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We usually try to get a race winner available for the show. We'll probably go with the K&N Pro Series and perhaps the ARCA Racing Series winners for next week's show. And you stay tuned. We'll keep you informed on Facebook and Twitter as far as who our guests are, and also at PamperRacing.com. So thank you to everyone for listening tonight. We really appreciate you. Thanks to all of our guests for being here tonight. Really enjoyed the conversations that we had with everyone tonight, and we look forward to talking to everybody again on Thursday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Fan for Racing Radio. Good night, everyone, and enjoy your week.